If the bond proposal passes, the UNC system is in line for $980 million, or roughly 49% of the $2 billion package. What would this mean for Western Carolina University?
Western Carolina's footprint in this bond package is a $110 million replacement of our existing and only natural science laboratory building. The facility we currently have was built in the late 70s, and it's simply inadequate in terms of both quality and quantity of space. In the late 1970s, we had 15 nursing majors. Now we have well over 400 nursing majors, another 100 to 150 pre-nursing majors, and then 100 graduate nursing majors. We had no engineering and engineering technology programs in the late 70s. Now we have over 600 students majoring in 4-degree programs in those fields. And so we are maxing out a space that was designed for a much smaller university. And Western begins from the point of view of our mission, which is to serve the people of Western North Carolina, and a big part of that is focusing on curricula, which themselves are focused on producing graduates who can meet workforce needs in the communities. And these nurses and these engineers and other health specialists and technologists, they all have to take courses in this natural science building. New natural science building will give us more space to accommodate more students to meet the needs in Western North Carolina.
Chancellor Grant, what would this mean for the University of North Carolina, Asheville?
Out of the bond, David, UNC Asheville is slated to receive $21.1 million. That will allow us to do a complete renovation and rehabilitation of Owen Hall, which is approaching 40 years old, and it will allow us now to address some very needed upgrades in Carmichael, which is a building almost 50 years old. Both of those buildings house key academic programs. In Owen, that's home to our art program, our sculpture program, mechatronics is in that building, and the business department. So the problem we're facing, it's not necessarily one of space, but it's how we teach in the 21st century with programs that have moved forward. So to be able to imagine a building, a teaching space from the inside out, what faculty need, what students need, and the workforce they're going into. So to upgrade laboratories, upgrade equipment, and be able to improve in this big effort, the teaching facilities, the resources for our students as well as the community. These buildings are heavily used by the community for art galleries, for art shows. So this allows us to transform those buildings in ways that we cannot do on our own.
Dennis King is president of AB Technical Community College, and the community college system is in line for $350 million, or 17% of the $2 billion budget. What would this mean for the AB Tech campus?
AB Tech will get approximately $5.4 million, and we will use that on a number of small projects in the next few years. Coming to mind are renovations of three very small buildings on campus that are historic in nature. Some of them go back as far as the late 19th century, and we would use the money for renovation projects at these sites. In addition, we would do some work at our Madison campus, which is in really need of strong repairs because we haven't been able to put money out there recently. That's the kind of thing that we would use it on. We would not use it on one project. It would be used on multiple small projects.
Local voters, not long ago, approved a quarter-cent sales tax at the local level to support construction of new buildings on the AB Tech campus. Why should they support this effort?
Well, a couple of reasons come to mind. First of all, the high-priority projects that our master facilities plan call for, of those projects, three have been completed. There are about three others that need to be completed. One is a total renovation of a very large building on campus. There is a second large classroom building on campus that needs renovation. The quarter-cent sales tax money is being used on those projects. What we will be using the bond referendum money for is lower priority projects, not priority one, but priority two and three repair projects on campus. The other thing that I guess I'd point out is one of the reasons why the community college system is getting such a small portion of the money as compared to the universities is not that the universities deserve more, but it's because the community colleges get local funding. And I want you to know, David, that the taxpayers of Buncombe County have done a handsome job over the years of taking care of the community college. The university systems, on the other hand, don't get any support from local sources, and therefore their only source of money is from the state. The smaller community colleges in rural communities also have a very difficult time of supporting their schools. They can't support them the way Buncombe County has supported AB Tech, and that's why you'll see Southwestern Community College in Jackson County getting $7.1 million, even though it's about half the size of AB Tech. Isothermal Community College, smaller than that, is getting $6.8 million because, again, more than AB Tech, because their local counties can't support them the way Buncombe County has done so well by us.
Connect NC, Investing in Our Future, the organization that is promoting passage of the bond proposal, listed how the money will be distributed across the state. So close to 80 counties would receive funds for various projects. And if you look at the list, north central part of the state, $432 million for 9 community colleges and 3 universities. The Piedmont, $355 million for 7 community colleges and 4 universities. Northwest, $221 million for 6 community colleges and 2 universities. The total for Western North Carolina is $165 million for 6 community colleges and 2 universities. Chancellor Belcher, is Western North Carolina getting its fair share?
Well, I will always be out there saying Western North Carolina needs more investment from the state. But if you look at some of the areas that you have pointed out, there are much larger concentrations of much larger universities and community colleges, and I think part of the answer goes to that. But I think that Western North Carolina needs further investment in its higher education institutions, so that in fact that we can experience the same kind of growth and therefore turn around and reinvest in our communities for greater economic and community development. We in Western North Carolina want to experience the same kind of economic vitality that our brethren in Charlotte, the Triad and the Triangle do.
Chancellor Grant, you want to weigh in on whether or not Western North Carolina is getting its fair share?
I would agree with my colleague on the assessment that it would be terrific to see additional resources coming to this part of the state. But for the reasons that Chancellor Belcher noted, with the concentration of population and institutions, we get that. But to continue to reinvest, for example, the Chamber has a plan, AVL 5x5 Vision 2020, which talks about what we're going to need to do in this region to continue to realize growth and prosperity and high-paying jobs and all the infrastructure pieces. One of the structural pieces of that plan is education. And to continue to advance the economic development work of the region, we need to continue to invest in our education institutions to do that. So, yes, we need to be looking at how we bring additional resources to this part of the state. And, yes, we are also grateful for the resources that are coming our way. So our job is to continue to make the case, and we need all the support we can get.
When the General Assembly first looked at the bond proposal, UNC Asheville, if I'm correct, was left out, but was told the university would have access to this pool of funds that could be shared by two other institutions that were left out of the bond proposal. Why was the university initially overlooked, and how did you get it turned around to be included?
Well, it was I was fairly new to the state of North Carolina at that point, and one of the things that occurred was that the projects coming through the bond, most of those consist of new buildings, or significantly, as David described the project over at Western Carolina, science facilities, business schools, nursing programs. We did not, in our master planning process that took place before I arrived at UNC Asheville, identify that a new building was one of our priorities. So we were put into a different group, and we were sort of off the radar, and that was not a good situation. So we made the case. We were initially in that pool for $15 million, and we made the case successfully to increase the amount coming to UNC Asheville and into the community to $21.1 million to advance two major projects on our campus. We have a master plan that we're looking at. We need to be investing in the facilities and the spaces that we have now. A brand new building, a new structure, wasn't on our high priority list. So we had to work hard. We had a great deal of support as we made the case from colleagues in the system, and I'm glad to see that we moved the needle on that.
UNC Asheville and the other two institutions that were left out by name in the proposal, they had the support of the other chancellors in the system. We really wanted them in this project as well.
Well, I was going to ask you that, because here you are, the three of you, colleagues in the higher education field. Just how competitive, President King, is this when it comes to seeking support and seeking state money?
Well, as I said earlier, we have a funding source in the legislation that governs the community college system. The local counties are responsible for taking care of us, unlike our physical needs, unlike the universities. So I think it's understandable that the community college system does not get as much money as perhaps the universities do. Number-wise, factually, we were asked about 6-8 months ago to identify our number one priority project system-wide. And when the tabulations came in from all the 58 community colleges, we needed $800 million for our number one priority on our campuses. We're getting $200 million out of this bond referendum. But that was a compromise, because if we had ever gotten that $800 million that we need, and we can show need for, there would had to have been a tax increase, and it has not been said, but it needs to be said to the voters and the listeners. There will be no tax increase because of this bond referendum, because it's been kept at a size that can be handled by the state budget presently.
I want to go back to Chancellor Grant for a moment. What did you learn about North Carolina and North Carolina politics and the UNC system during this process?
That's a great question, David. What I learned is that there's a lot of support for the campuses across the state, and that everyone has a special place within our own backyard. We have individuals who care deeply about our campuses and our institutions, so building the coalitions to help make that case. And joining ranks with my colleagues here, if something good happens at AB Tech's campus, that helps all of us. If something good happens at Western's campus, that helps all of us. So I think what I've learned and lessons that I brought with me is that we do better working in collaboration and partnership to advance this work. So finding great partners to help make the same case, engaging the Board of Trustees, getting the community caring about this with us, and key legislators. So as we made the case to increase the support, we had a lot of support in making that case. So what I learned was that there's an enormous amount of support for our higher education system, enormous amount of pride. We have graduates all over the state of North Carolina, and reinvesting in these institutions is going to help support the next generation of graduates and innovators and leaders in this state. That's one of the things I learned.
It's been 15 years since the last general obligation bond was authorized to upgrade the state's infrastructure. This is a $2 billion bond proposal. But in an ideal situation, how much should the bond proposal be to meet a greater percentage of the state's infrastructure needs? Chancellor Belcher, would you like to take a crack at that?
Well, I'll start. We have, as we've discussed here, the primary focus from the UNC system point of view was construction of new facilities. And in fact, that grew out of the fall 2014 conversations, which we have on a biennial basis with the Board of Governors about what are the priorities for new facilities. But that in some ways ignores one of the greatest challenges that we're having, and that is that there is a tremendous backlog of repair and renovation needs. In fact, the last estimate I heard was that the UNC system alone needed $2 billion to take care of existing R&R needs. So we're getting some great new facilities in here, but at Western Carolina alone, we have $190 million worth of a backlog of repair and renovation needs, and every institution in the state can tell you. So when you want to, if you want to use that to back into how great should a bond project have been, I mean, we would love to have had, you know, a couple billion more dollars. But one of the challenges here is trying to negotiate a bond package without having to raise taxes in the state, and that is what our elected officials were able to craft.
And I should say that NC Connect admits that this falls well short of what is really needed.
Sure. And some of the interesting information that's come out in this process is that since the last bond was advanced for the state, there's at least 2 million new residents in the state of North Carolina, whether it's through population growth or individuals moving here, companies relocating. We're supporting 2 million more people on an infrastructure that is 15 years out of date. So whether it's the infrastructure that supports water and sewer, higher education, the farms, you name it. So it's a growth opportunity to keep being successful as a state with an economy that's robust. We have to be investing in the infrastructure that supports it.
I want to talk about the politics of this just for a moment. Rob Christensen is a columnist with the Raleigh News and Observer, and he wrote the following. The $2 billion bond referendum that will be on the March 15th ballot will go down to defeat. The primary driver in the primaries will be the Republican presidential contest. Do you really think all those Trump, Cruz, and Ben Carson voters are going to be anxious to borrow a lot of money for new government projects? What do you think of that columnist's analysis of what's coming in March?
It probably would have been better for the vote if it had been delayed until the fall. But I feel very optimistic about the referendum for a couple of reasons. First of all, my belief is that there reasonable people will understand that no new taxes driven by this bond referendum make support of it a no-brainer. There is really no justification for not supporting it in light of the fact that there are no new taxes. Yes, we would like to have had more money, $800 million at the community college level versus the $200 million we are getting. But we understand that we also have a high priority on keeping taxes low, and so we settled on these numbers for the referendum as a whole so that taxes could be kept down. I think that's the principal reason why voters have every justification of voting for the referendum.
And I would say that, you know, the North Carolina, whether Republicans or Democrats have been in power in Raleigh, have voted historically for bonds to support education, and I think they will again. My great concern about the March ballot is that because of the presidential primary, people don't even know that it's on the ballot. My greatest concern is one of awareness. And I think if people know about it and know the kinds of things that we're talking about and that there are no new taxes involved, that it will be compelling.
But when this was first proposed, there was talk that it would be on the November ballot, which is a presidential election year. Chancellor Grant, would you have preferred to see it on the ballot in November?
I think so, because it's primaries bring out an interesting array of individuals and perspectives in voting. Primaries, if you look at primaries across the country, they create that's where the field gets sorted. So, but I also don't underestimate. You know, I appreciate what the columnist was saying, and when I put on my political scientist hat, I can think like that. But I also don't underestimate the ability of someone to think in more than one way. You know, when people go out to vote, they make up their decisions based on a multitude of factors, and they may vote one way for a candidate for the next president, but they may also be thinking about what's going on in my own backyard that I need to care about. It really gets to the argument of all politics in some ways is very local. So we have a responsibility to make sure that we're helping to educate, to get the word out, that people understand what this means for the quality of their daily life. And right now, sometimes, that's the one piece of the world you can affect the most. So who knows what will happen when people go into the voting booths in March, but I know that this is a great investment. I've met a lot of really smart people, and I wouldn't underestimate anybody walking in there and making their decisions about what's in the best interest of their neighborhoods, their backyards, their communities, their institutions of education.
So you share President King's optimism?
We are optimists by nature. The work that we do, because we get to work with the next generation, keeps us optimistic. So, yes, I know how I'm going to vote.
Mary Grant is chancellor at the University of North Carolina, Asheville. David Belcher is chancellor at Western Carolina University. And Dennis King is president of AB Technical Community College. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.